Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Over the last 2 days, we've been sharing a powerful and timely conversation I had with Dan Seaborn. He's an author, speaker, passionate advocate for godly marriages and families. We're going to be unpacking some of the important topics he addresses in his book, Winning at Home, Tackling the Topics That Confuse Kids and Scare Parents. As we close out our conversation today, there's so much more to discuss, especially as it relates to navigating the challenges our children face in today's culture. Jump right back in now with my guest, Dan Seaborn. Dan, I want to talk a little bit about cyberbullying. It's got my attention. You cannot go up online and not read stories of kids who are just getting pounded by other kids. Kids can be so hurtful. They're mean. It's awful. And this internet thing, you can, with a push of a button, just absolutely destroy somebody. Look at Twitter. Look what's happening up there. It's nothing but a cesspool of hate.
Yes.
Dan, and our kids are on the receiving end often of this, and they already struggle with who am I, how do I fit in, self-esteem issues, and more. Can you address that issue for us as parents?
Yeah, and I want to start with helping parents understand something. Tim, I'm going to take you back to when me and you left school. Let's be 14. We left school at 3:30, 4 o'clock, got home. We were home for the night, and we could get away from some of the things that happened to us all day at school. There was a bully. I remember a guy named Bill at my school that was a bully that scared me to death. He said things to me that made me fearful, et cetera. But at 3:30, when I got on the bus or my parents picked me up and I got home, I could get away from that, at least till the next day. Well, guess what? That doesn't stop at 3:30 now. At 3:30, it actually intensifies. What I felt actually begins to increase at 3:30 because I'm going home and he can get online and he can bring my name up and he can put me out there in social media and he can do this and that and the other, or him and his buddies can have a code name for me and he can use that code name to rip on me, put me down, and nobody even knows he's talking about me. So parents, first of all, you need to understand your children are living in a different world and growing up a different time with some of the social bullying stuff. And the social bullying, as Tim just said, can be even more intense because they're hiding behind a screen and they're able to say things that they wouldn't even say in person or say at school. So having the conversation with your children and just, again, everything, Tim, today goes back to relationships, doesn't it? Because ask your children, hey, is there anything you're dealing with? Is there anything that's coming your way socially that is putting you in a difficult situation? And Tim, I would tell you in the public schools in my area, okay? So growing up, I would tell you that a person who maybe was same-sex attracted, et cetera, that person probably got some bullying. It was wrong. Should not have been happening that way. Got it, et cetera. But it's almost reverse course now that if you're not trying out some same-sex stuff, I had a teen tell me the other day, a 17-year-old girl told me, if you're not trying out things that are same-sex, et cetera, you're kind of bullied now. You're thought of as kind of, what's wrong with you? Why are you not trying this, et cetera? So there's almost a flip in culture of these things. So bullying before was the opposite of that. Now bullying is this way. So what these kids are dealing with is really challenging. That's why the phone's ringing off the hook here, because kids are struggling with their identity and knowing where to go with the anxiety they're feeling about that.
Dan, it's hard to believe we're at a place now where that's become mainstream conversation.
Yeah.
Same-sex attraction behavior, homosexuality, being gay, to drag queens in schools, and are you trans, and how do we go about this? And it's like if you are not, quote, sensitive, then you're a bully.
Yeah.
In this whole thing. And how do we approach this when you have sincerely held religious faith beliefs, where you believe what God's word says and how God, well, he's the creator, the one who made both male and female in the midst of this. And God has an ethic, a sexual ethic
on how we are to conduct ourselves, and that sex and that relationship is to be confined to the relationship between a man and a woman in the bond of marriage. Dan, where do we go? I mean, how do we begin to have conversations with our kids who are getting absolutely pounded on this very issue?
God created them male and female. Now, anytime you move away from that, we move away from peace and we move more toward chaos. And what's happened, I believe, in our culture, and I've listened to our counselors recently sit in a room and talk about the fact that now we base pretty much everything on feeling. Not much is based on fact anymore. We base everything on, how do you feel? What are you feeling, et cetera? We all know that that can get you into trouble really quick. Because if I base, Tim, today, what I want out of life on feelings, there'll be some people getting run over for me to accomplish what I want or whatever I'd want to fulfill in myself. And I want to just say, I pause here a moment just to say this to you. It's very likely, I'm not trying to bring something on you, I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm just trying to be a realist. Parents today, if you're raising children, if you have grandchildren, pretty good chance you're going to have one of them come to you and say, I'm same-sex attracted. It's just the culture we're in. It's being, like you said, pounded into their heads, Tim, day after night after day after night. So I go back to when I was young, Tim. I had thoughts and feelings about it. And if you had told me at the age of 10, 11, 12, I need to follow through on that, I don't know where I'd be today. And so I'm thankful that my parents taught me the ways of the Lord. Not that I wanted to follow them when I was a teenager, but as I grew up and became mature, I landed at a really good spot. And I want to say to parents today, if you have a child who comes to you and tells you that they are feeling same-sex attracted, are wanting to move forward to that sort of relationship, first of all, parents, what I'm about to say is going to shock a few of you. First thing I want to say to you is, wow, you must be a pretty awesome parent that your child, with this thing they're feeling inside, they're maybe anxious about, et cetera, that they would want to come and talk to you is a great gift to you. And it tells me you've probably parented really well, that your child would trust you with that piece of information, because they're being told by society, even by their school, don't talk to your parents. So if they're willing to do that and push through that, what a great blessing, because it gives you the opportunity to speak truth into them. And I want to say something. One of our counselors here told me, Dan, if I could give parents one piece of advice, she said, first of all, tell them their facial expression when their kid shares it, keep it calm, receive it, even smile, show love, show kindness. Don't do what everything inside you is wanting to do, because you're probably going to freak out. She said, just stay calm. She said, one of the reasons teens love to come talk to me, they can say anything to me and I don't overreact. And she said, as a parent, first of all, when a child tells you they're feeling something, your mind's going to go to the worst possible scenario. She said, don't do that. Just listen. They're grappling with it. They're confused themselves. They're being told 15 different things, and they need to be able to express what they're feeling on the inside. Allow them to share that. Then secondly, parents, this is doing a little bit of homework, but go ahead and have your homework done where you begin to ask them a few questions. Well, what's making you think that? Where are those feelings coming from? Who's influencing you to maybe have those kind of thoughts? What's your foundational belief as a person? Asking your own teenager, what do you think God's word says about that? How do you think God would want you to move forward with that? Now here, I'm going to tell you, a lot of kids are going to say, God wants me happy. You're going to have a hard conversation with your kid about life's not about happiness. Life's about purpose and finding their joy in the Lord.
Dan, I know in the book you spent a lot of time challenging parents to understand Scripture. You want your kids to understand and know the truth, and we anchor ourselves there. And by the way, we don't just love, we speak truth in love. Because that's the foundation of who we are. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more.
Correct.
And so he's saying there is a way that we live. There's a tension here, Dan, between accepting someone, loving them, and affirming them.
Yeah.
Two different worlds. You know that? What does it mean to be created in the image of God? And what does it mean to bear that image in my life? And so much more. So there's a lot here that you've got to work through. And I think what you're addressing is it's very difficult and complicated, because you find yourself in quagmire, you know that, and you're terrified as a parent on how to move forward and dealing with the fear that they may abandon you or never want a relationship with you anymore, or the grandkids. They're going to keep them from you and more. And so, Dan, that's a hard, difficult place to be. Dan, I want to stay with this for a moment. It's like you want to maintain relationship. You want to be in there. You want to have opportunity to have influence. You want to teach them in the ways of the Lord and how to keep themselves going on. Dan, speak to how you and Jane pressed through some tough moments when it wasn't easy for you guys, when you felt like we're confused or lost or we've failed, those moments when you cried yourself to sleep over your kids.
Before you even said, Dan, talk about that, that was what was coming to my heart. As a parent, you're going to deal in these moments, in these situations, with pain that is unfathomable. It is going to be so deep and so intense and so terrifying that you're not going to sleep well. You're going to do good to function. I remember days where literally to put one foot in front of the other was a great accomplishment. And I want to say a few things to parents in this place. Knowing your anchor is going to be foundational. If you're anchored in anything other than the solid truth of God's word and what it teaches, you're not going to make it. You know, Tim, the Lord's been laying on my heart in this last year. He's been putting on my heart more and more. Say my name, Dan. Jesus, I've always preached about you. Say my name, Dan. Let parents know they can come to me. And I would tell you, parents today, when you're in that situation, don't know exactly what to do, simply bow before him and say, God, I need your help here. I wasn't planning on this. I didn't make this choice. I didn't put myself in this spot. You gave me this child. You obviously trust me a lot. And so I want to do my best. I know they're your kid first, but I'm responsible for them on this earth. So give me guidance, give me wisdom, and I believe he will. I will tell you that Jane and I had some nights where I would look at her and I would go, babe, I don't know what to do. I'm going to go spend some time with the Lord. And I would come back and I would say to her, babe, this is what I'm thinking. This is what the Lord's laying on my heart. And she would go, I'm good with that. Let's take that step. You know, Jesus said, John 15, I'll leave the Holy Spirit with you to lead and to guide you. You're going to need some of those moments. Jesus' own words were, I'll give you what you need to say in that moment when you get there. In your conversation with your child that you're having, it's incredibly difficult. Literally, I remember moments when I would say, Lord, you got to tell me what to say here because I don't want to say. I want to burst into tears. I want to cry. I want to be done. I wish I didn't have this kid. Dan, you say that out loud? Yeah. Yeah. I had moments when I had the thought, Lord, why did you give me this kid? Like, you could have given this kid to somebody else. I don't want this. So it's going to be a normal feeling. You are not alone. You aren't the first parent who had that thought. And I believe the Holy Spirit of the Lord will lead and guide you in some of those moments. Our best counselor in this specific area we're talking about, he tells me all the time, I'm in a meeting, I'm in a situation, and I just stop and say, Holy Spirit, guide my next word, because I don't know what to say. I will say this, ranting and raving and yelling and screaming will never accomplish anything. Jesus role modeled that for us. He never was in a spot where he lost his cool. He always had his control. And as parents, you are the adult in the room. You are the one who's responsible to gain control of yourself and make sure you communicate with your child. A love and a grace from the Father, that's awesome. And Tim's so right. It's nothing to do with affirming something that doesn't align with God's word. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about, having a peace, having an ability to see that God has some purpose going on here that's bigger than me. And you'll have people who are even people of faith look right at you and say, nope, God affirms this and this and this. I'm sorry. I've studied the word pretty intensely. I've read it deeply. I've talked to the scholars of scholars. And what God did in the beginning with male and female and have them married and married for a lifetime was God's best plan. And I will always tell you, aligning with that plan is the best way to live life. Tim, it's not my opinion. It's not mine, your opinion. That's God's word. My goal in life as a minister of the gospel, he called me to this. Sometimes I wish I had a different job. But he called me to a life that says, teach my word, teach it clearly, say my name, yeah, and then allow me to do my work. And that's what I think we're responsible for as Christian leaders. I'm proud of you because I know you do that and you do it well, and it's not easy. You take some shots. And so I think what God is wanting us to do, carry on what Dr. Dobson's done. Now it's mine, your turn, and I pray he'll raise some more people up who carries this message on, because the children's children who are coming behind us need to know the truth of God's word. And we need to teach it clearly and plainly.
Dan, we're, again, battling time here, but I want to go to a sentence from your book that really caught my attention. It says, just as you had to learn how to change diapers and soothe crying babies middle of the night, navigate teenage challenges and mood swings, and here it is, now you have to learn to let them go, to release them. And part of that is learning not to take the loss or the change or what's happening personally. It's the job where you're investing everything you can into letting it go. You launch them. And I think probably a theme for the broadcast is choose, mom and dad, to be involved in the lives of your kids.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life. But at the same time, there is a transition, Dan, and we have to let them launch. We got to let them go. Dan, give us your thoughts on that, and how have you navigated those waters as a dad, as a pastor, as a counselor, a coach, and what are your words to parents in this journey?
Well, I learned that one the hard way, Tim. I wish you would have taught me differentiation, and I would have just been able to sit with you in a classroom and you helped me take those steps. But going through this with my daughter, when she almost died, you know, drugs and all the things she got involved in, she came back to the Lord. And through that process, one of the things the Lord showed me very clearly was, Anna's going to make her own decisions, Dan, and you need to pray for her and you need to trust her to me. That's a one little 30-second statement coming out of my mouth, but that was one of the greatest things the Lord taught me with that. And I even said to, I have four adult children now, but I have sat with them on a Father's Day, Christmas Day, et cetera. Pretty standard for me to look at all my kids and say, hey guys, Dad loves you and I will always be here for you. I'm going to tell you that if you go back 10 years, I meddled in all of your adults' lives way too much. I looked at things that you do and I tried to go, oh, I need to fix that or change that. And I said to them, I'm changing that. And going through what I went through with Anna, having to release her fully to the Lord, taught me that I'm your father. I'm here for you. I will always be here for you. I will always love you. This is the transition I made, Tim. I said to my kids, so here's the deal, guys. If you want Dad's advice, I'm not going to force it on you anymore. I want you to come to me and I want you to ask me. I'm always willing to talk. I'm always willing to share things I've learned. But I look back and my dad didn't do that. He tried to control me, tried to tell me everything in my adult life. Wow. I'm seeing I'm doing some of that too. I'm taking that off the plate. You guys want me, call me, text me. I'm always available. And Tim, I tell you, some of my sweetest moments in life right now is my girls. Oh, my son will call me sometimes and say, hey, Dad, you got a second? And I realize that I'm doing that the right way. I'm not forcing them. They're wanting it. And when they call you like that, oh man, they listen. It's your chance to unload, baby, because their hearts are open. The funny part of this whole story, I said to Anna one day, why'd you come back home? And she said this, because you finally let me go. I remember the night I said, Lord, I'm not chasing her anymore. I'm not trying to figure out who she's texting. I'm not trying to figure anything out. She's in her 20s. What am I doing? I'm going to kill myself. I let her go. And I said, Lord, she may die. You may die, but I've got to go fulfill the purpose you have for me. And in fully letting her go, I fully realized, oh my goodness gracious, this is what the Lord did for me. He fully let me go. And then I chose to come back and follow him. He loved me the whole time. But it's when I finally realized I am the lost sheep. I need to get back to the shepherd. That's when I was fully found. And your kids, if you can learn to trust them fully to the Lord, and then as they become adults, give them the freedom to go and fulfill their own purpose. You say, oh, I don't agree with some of that. Hey, that's between them and the Lord. When you stand on your day of accountability toward the Lord, in Hebrews, it doesn't say you'll stand there and give accountability for your children. It says you'll stand and give accountability for yourself. So your children will be accountable for themselves. You model it. You show them love and grace. Be available for them, especially as they hit the adult years. But don't try to control them. That's not scriptural. You just guide them and pray for them. And the Lord, I think, will give you some strength and guidance in that.
The story of the prodigal son, it says, and when he came to himself.
Yeah.
And when he came to himself, he had squandered everything. He was away from home. And Dan, I love that because in that moment, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back home. He had to have believed in his heart, Dan, that his dad just might take him back.
Yeah.
In other words, he knew that his dad loved him. And then the scripture says this, and while he was yet a far way off, Daddy was looking for him. and he saw him coming. My son, who was lost, is found. Put a ring on him. Get him a robe. Kill the fatted calf. My son, who was lost, is now found. He's home. And Mom and Dad, we want you to hear this. Been a conversation not to beat anybody up. Not a conversation that just speaks hopefully of love and of encouragement and an acknowledgement of the battle that's out there. And it's raging. And the truth is, it seems like all hell is against our families, against our kids, against our marriages and more. And Dan, we need a covering. And I can't think of a more important thing to do right now to pray for some moms and dads who are listening right now, who are on their knees crying out to God that he would intervene in their family, that their son or their daughter would come to themselves.
Yeah.
Or, hey, if you're going to start changing our family, God, start it right here with me. And Dan, I want to ask you if you wouldn't mind just praying over the airwaves right now. Just pray heaven into this moment and ask God to do something that only he could get the glory for. Would you do that?
I would be honored to. So, Lord, it is with great internal joy that I commit this time of our talking all this and these parents, some who are wiping their eyes literally right now. I put them in your hands. I put their children, grandchildren in your hands. I pray, God, today that you would speak clearly into the hearts of all of us that you are the way, you're the hope. And I thank you, Lord, for the challenges you allowed me to go through. It's not even a prayer. I can believe I'm praying, but Lord, it was through the pain that you taught me how to be a better father and how to be a better man and how to be more like you. None of us like pain. We run from it. We're scared of it. And yet it's through those times that you have molded us into the people we need to be. And so today, take moms, take dads, take teens, take kids. Do what only you can do in their heart. We want the name of Jesus to go out boldly. And we pray, Lord, today that we've presented you clearly as the hope for every situation. So bless and guide us. And thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen.
Amen. God truly is able to work in powerful and incredible ways in our families and in the lives of our children when we surrender our control and their lives fully over to him. You know, parenting was never meant to be done in our own strength. And today's conversation is a reminder that God is present, active, and faithful in that process. If you'd like to learn more about Dan and his ministry, Winning at Home, or if you want to find out more about where he'll be speaking next, just go to their website, winningathome.com. And if you're a parent who feels overwhelmed by the pressure to do everything right while navigating today's culture, I encourage you, pick up a copy of Dan's book, Winning at Home, Tackling the Topics That Confuse Kids and Scares Parents. I truly believe it'll be a blessing to you and your family. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can listen to all three broadcasts at oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com. Just search for Life, Love, Faith, and Family. On behalf of my son and co-host, Dr. Zach Clinton, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ehlers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.